this past parsha, jam-packed parsha, like all the parshias and Sefer Bereishis, but we were introduced in last week's parsha to Rachel and Leah, who are the Imois of Klal Yisrael. And the term Imois means that they are our mothers. Well, what does it mean to be a mother? So everyone knows a biological mother gives off to their child certain DNA, certain abilities, capabilities, and talents, so to say. So here also the Imois that we have do that for us as well. We're their children. So whatever they have, on some level, we have as well. And I think in last week's parasha, it shows us very clearly one trait that both Rachel and Leah had, which is really, I think, part of who Klal Yisrael is. And that is the idea of being selfless. Right? Rachel Imeinu was scheduled to marry Yaakov. This was supposed to be, you know, the shidduch made in heaven. This was supposed to be the perfect match. Yaakov Avinu was by, hands down, the best guy. Today, everyone thinks they're the best guy, but then it was agreed. There wasn't even a question that Yaakov wasn't the best guy. Yaakov was the best guy in every yeshiva, wherever he lived. Yaakov was the best guy. And Rachel was supposed to marry him, and that was the deal, and that was the expectations, and that was the plan for years. Chazal tell us. Rachel was supposed to go to Yaakov, and he was supposed to go to Leah. And Rachel was all extremely excited, you could imagine, at the end of the, and right before she, she goes through with the wedding, she gives it over to her sister Leah. Now, if you've ever been involved with a bride or a kala, you understand that there's something very unique about them. They're somewhat self-absorbed as they get closer and closer to their own chasana. I'm not saying it in a negative way. I'm saying it's just a reality. A little girl dreams since she's, you know, 3 years old to be a kala. So when she actually gets into that mode, she's very not thinking about other people. She's very, very absorbed about her own joy. And I'm not saying it as a taina. If anyone's ever, you know, been involved in this, you know it's true that they're very self-absorbed because that's just the nature of it. And yet Rachel decided, instead of doing something which would be a very normal idea of not giving it over to her sister, more like she would explain to her sister logically why she couldn't do it and why she has to marry Yaakov and this, that, and the other. And perhaps with that and, you know, time and some therapy, she would get over it. But Rachel decided she was going to not do that. She was going to throw away her entire future, not knowing that Yaakov would also marry her. She didn't know that. She thought that this would be the end of it. She gets stuck with whoever she gets stuck with. And she gave that away because she really expressed selflessness at the highest time where a person would be selfish, and no one would be fatined on you for being selfish. You know, no one would have tainas on a kala for wanting things perfect and wanting things her way, because she's a kala, right? There's a reason why they're called bridezillas, right? The reason why they got that time, that term, right? It's an assumption that that's the way they feel. I came across an amazing story. Mom just blew my mind. There was a frum woman who used to live in Georgia. She moved to Eretz Yisrael. So she was a pediatric doctor working in the pediatric ward in Eretz Yisrael. One day she's at work, and all of a sudden a woman shows up in a full gown, a kala in a full gown with her makeup on, the whole shebang. She walks into the pediatric ward. Now that's a sight you ask a question when you see that in the pediatric ward. So she asked the woman, "What are you doing here?" She said, "Today's the day of my chasana, and we know it's brought down that a kala b'yom chuposai has a kayach brachas. So I want to come to each and every child in the pediatric ward to give them a bracha that they should get out of here one day." Can you imagine a kala on the day of a chasana schleps all the way to a hospital to go bed to bed? You know, most people, even if they thought about it, they would send like a letter. You know, they would go in advance. They would do something. But to go on the day of your chasana, when you're already all fully dressed. You know, once the cows get fully dressed, they don't want to, oh, everything can ruin the makeup, ruin the outfit. They get very, very touchy. She Mamish went all the way down to the hospital in Eretz Yisrael just to be able to go from bed to bed to bed to be able to wish each child refuah shleimah. That's, to me, the same idea. Mamish is Rachel Imeinu. At a time where you're expected to be selfish. No one would have any tainas on you for not thinking about other people. This is your chasana. You waited a long time for it. It's all about you. And at that moment, to think about someone else is really godless. It's really what makes Rachel Imeinu very special. At a time where most of us would be very selfish, and maybe even it would be okay to be selfish, she went the opposite way and was selfless. And the truth is, her sister Leah did a similar thing later on in the parasha. When she was ready to have another child, she said to herself, "Nope, if I have another boy, then my sister's going to have less boys than the shvachas." Now again, everyone's ever been involved with pregnant women, they also get to be a little selfish also. Hormones, a lot going on. You have to remember, Leah also looked at every child that she got as, "This is to make up for Yaakov not really liking me." So in Leah's mind, it would have not been difficult to justify another boy and saying, "Listen, Rachel, you'll have one boy, but listen, at least you got the man of your dreams. I'm always, you know, leftovers over here." So she'll understand. And again, Leah didn't go that same route as her sister. They decided to go the selfless route and said, "You know what? I'm gonna switch this baby so my sister won't feel bad." Even though, again, I don't think anyone would have timers on Leah If she wouldn't have done it, they would have understood Leah. Listen, Leah said to herself, every baby that I got, I'm building shiftei ka, and at the end of the day, I know that Yaakov doesn't really like me that much, so I got to do this for my own relationship. But she didn't do that. So it's like an amazing thing how both our creating mice in this expression both showed that unbelievable selflessness, which we all have. You know, that's what makes Klal Yisrael special, is that we don't think about ourselves. Today, in the world today, everyone thinks about themselves. Politicians befrat. It's all about what they can get out of something, what they can do, what they can benefit. Klal Yisrael is all about what we can do for someone else. And that's really rooted in this week's parsha. Okay. So we left off last week. We were discussing a very difficult sheet of the Ramah. The Ramah is in Yerideus, in Shinhei, Hilchas Pidyon HaBen. The Ramah writes the following comment. The Ramah writes, Ve'eino av yochol liftois ayidei shliach. The father cannot redeem his son via shliach. Ve'gamein bezdin poidin oiser b'loy av. And also bezdin cannot be paid a child without the father. Two statements seem to be irrelevant to each other. The Ramah seemed to put them both together. The first statement was that a father can't be paid through a shliach. So that statement we saw was based on the question presented to the Rivash. And the way that Taz explained it was that since the Rivash never put down his notion, it means the Rivash agreed of this concept. That's what happened, right? We saw it together inside last week. Someone asked the Shaila to the Rivash. In the middle of the Shaila, he throws in a line that you can't redeem through a Shliach. The Rivash never says, what are you talking about? That's absolutely not true. So it must be that the Rivash agreed to it. That's the way that Taz understood the Rivash, and that's how it makes it to this way in Shulchan Aruch, that we say over here, you can't be paid through a Shliach. Now the second half of the Ramah seems to be something we saw already in the Rishonim. The Gamim Bezdin Poydin Oysa B'Leah. What does it mean Bezdin can't be Poydin without the father? Pashup Shad, it means that there is no Din P'tiyas Bezdin like there is by Bris Milah. By Bris Milah, we had a Gemara. The Gemara learned that if father doesn't do it, the son doesn't do it, Bezdin does. By Pidyon HaBen, there's no such Din. There's no Bezdin involved in Pidyon HaBen. They're not obligated. Well, again, once you hold, you can't make a messenger. So then it's only father. Once it's only father, so then everyone else who's not obligated is automatically removed. But the question is, and this is really a very strong question, is why can't you make a shliach to do Pidyon HaBen? You can make a shliach to do so many other mitzvahs. Why can't you make a shliach to do Pidyon HaBen? Why can't I send a messenger here, take the $5, give it to the kohen, and we'll be good to go? And this Ramah has major halachic ramifications, even Bizman HaZeh. We spoke about this a little last week. I didn't put it on the paper, but there's numerous tshuvas of contemporary gedolim about soldiers.
Done.
Right, right. So if you hold that the mitzvah is to have it done, then it's very hard to imagine why you shouldn't be able to send the shliach. Exactly, right, right. That's what the Vilna Gaon is going to say in a second. We'll see the Vilna Gaon says that. But we pointed out that this shaila comes up very often in Eretz Yisrael with soldiers that are on different missions and they can't just come back home, but they can send the shliach. It's very easy to send the shliach back home to their town to be paid to their son. So this Ramah that says you can't do it will have major ramifications, Allah.
Would that have to be done on the 30th day?
At least, but I mean, that's when the mitzvah starts.
Right.
So we're going to learn today. There's no such din of being an oral like you have by Pidyon HaBen. You don't have that by Pidyon HaBen like by Bris. If a kid's not nifta, we'll see. There's a chiddush in the Sforno on Parshas Boy who does say differently. But the assumption is that there's no change really in the child's status if you don't give him a Pidyon HaBen on day 30. But you have a mitzvah, so the question is, why shouldn't the father do his mitzvah via the shliach?
Now go ahead.
In the Haggadah,
I'll get to that. We'll see. Chassam Sefer talks about that. Believe it or not, Chassam Sefer works Haggadah into this, and he says, even though I know it's Haggadah, but I like it. I think it fits. We'll see in a second. That's Chassam Sefer's
practice. Another question. So, the bris, so there's an Indian whether the father has the first obligation to give a bris as well as the child. Then, but ultimately, it's that the son can't be in the RL state.
Correct.
The issue is that the son has to change his physical status.
Correct.
Right? So the father does it, the kid can't. Well, when the kid's old enough, he has to. But by Pidyon HaBen, is it the father has to make the pidyon, or that the child can't be unredeemed?
So
right. In other words,
so the Gemara told us that the father has a mitzvah to be paid his son, and there's also
is it like he has to be moil his son?
So
that's Machlokes.
So we had that. So 2 weeks ago, we talked that to Machlokes Rivash and probably the Sefer Achinuch. Whether or not mitzvah and pidyon HaBen are similar to milah or not, we'll talk about it more hopefully again today.
Right, exactly, and
that's probably why Bezdin has no chiyuv to do it.
That's different than
exactly, 100%. Because there's no status that's affected. 100%, yes.
Wait, there's no shlichus. What happens with the son himself?
Ah, that's a good question. Can the son make a shliach?
Could he do it himself?
Well, he has a mitzvah. Well, Gemara learns that from a pasuk.
Ah,
so that's a separate question. Even if there's no shlichus for the father, is it possible that there be shlichus for the son? I mean, let's say, for example, you take the Ramah literally. The Lashon Ramah is Eino Av Yochel Liftesay Dishlech. The father can't redeem for shlich. What about the son's chiyuv? So again, this might take us back to our old conversation of whose chiyuv is what, right? But we'll talk a little bit more maybe about that today.
And if someone paid the kohen, is he
Oh, we'll see. That's the Vilna Gaon's Taina. We'll see. We'll see. We'll get to it. So let's see. So
the it's very negative. To not be part of that negative.
So we're going to see in a second. So the Kipshutoi, there's nothing bad about it. We'll see. There's even a Gemara in Bechairis that sounds like that. But there is a Sforno in Parshas Boy, which we'll get to, that seems to say it's not a good thing to walk around not being paid. We'll get to it. So let's see. So we're holding over here with a $1 million question. Why would the Ramah say you can't make a Shech v'Pedjer Aben? So the Shach and the Taz, they all disagree. They say, I don't know what he's talking about. Why can't you? Shlichus works b'chol ha-tarikula. For every time you can do shlichus, every time the Torah gives you a mitzvah, you can do shlichus, so why should this be different? So we're going to try to come up. No. Oh, exactly. So whenever it's not a mitzvah shebegufay, so the question is, are you going to somehow convince me that Pidgin HaBen is a mitzvah shebegufay? That's what we're going to have to see. So if you look over here, number two, so if you look over in the sefer called Oitzer Pidgin HaBen, so he quotes a pshat, number two. He quotes from the sefer Pidgin Nefesh, which I don't have. He says like this. The kiv number two. The kiv in the pidyon haben yesh chiyuv al av. Since pidyon haben is a father's obligation, the imloy padu aviv doshu chazal b'kedushin shami riba de padu tifte. And if the father doesn't do it again, the next level is the son. Shehu chayiv liftoiseh atzmoi. Avol ein shum chiyuv al bezin shiiftoiseh. We do know, and we pointed this out already. Mishainim pointed this out that the obligation to bezin never happens. There's never a chiyuv pidyon on bezin. For whatever reason, so we saw Abshat from the Atmos Yosef. Atmos Yosef was an early Achron. He said it's because it costs money. And we don't want to cost money on the Bezdin.
Why does a child have to be voted himself?
We learn from a Pasuk. Why learn from a Pasuk?
Because the logic isn't.
Why? I don't care. I would say the other way.
No, because it's more because the father got this amazing matana from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so he has to give something back.
Yeah, but the kid himself is really the gift, because he would have died.
So then any child, there should have
been. No, because he was a Bechor in Mitzrayim, the Bechorim would have died. Right?
So I'm talking today, though.
No, but that's why we do
so
it today.
It's
that's one reason. There might be another reason which we'll talk about today, but the classical reason has to do with the Bechorim in Mitzrayim, which if that's the case, we spoke already last week, why don't girls have it? Girls also were saved. So then we have to go with the other reason that has to do with the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, which we'll see maybe today. We'll try to mix those reasons around a little bit.
What's that saying, in Chavish Matra
Atzma? In
what? Chavish Matra Atzma, like a kidnapped person can't redeem himself.
Okay.
Is such a thing?
Sounds nice.
I'm
not familiar.
Much of a kidnapper.
I'm not sure if I'm not familiar.
Yeah, sure.
It could be.
A person who is kidnapped or whatever,
right,
can't redeem himself.
And therefore,
whatever that means, I don't know if that's the same thing here. But it's a chiyuv of redemption.
Right.
It wouldn't fall on the son if somebody else can't do it.
I see, but the Gemara learns out that there's a chiyuv to do it for the son to redeem himself if his father doesn't do it. So that we know. Now we could debate, and that's probably Maholikis B'shainim, if the son's chiyuv is different than the father's chiyuv. The father has one level chiyuv and the son might have a different level chiyuv. That's debatable. Maybe with the revosh in the Sefer Chinuch from last week.
But if it's on the son, why would the mother of them have to come in?
Because the Gemara learned that. Thank you. Because the Gemara learned that specifically from Pesukim to exclude the mother. The Gemara had specific Pesukim. You're right. The Gemara had such a thought. That was probably the Habamini of the Gemara. Because this is because it says in the pasuk Kol b'chor b'necha tifteh. So we learned that the Gemara means it's a parental mitzvah. Whenever there's a parental mitzvah, we always assume mothers and fathers are equal. So the Gemara answered, no, this Pesukim that excludes it. But you're right. In theory, it should be like that. So he comes up with a very interesting pshat the sefer. I don't know who he is, but he writes like this. He says, since we know that Bezin doesn't have to redeem a pidyon haben. So who's the chiv left on? The ain achiv elo oyala av oyala ben. The loy kim mitzvahs milo shah Torah gilsa chiv ala bezdin im loy molos of it. And it's not like bezdin where the Torah says, by milo bezdin does it. Ukedashin and bekedushin mihim alchem. Ulachain hare miyat ha Torah lehedja pidyon aide achar aide shlich. Wow. He just took a very large jump, this fellow. He said like this. He said, well, once the Torah told me that by Pidyon HaBen, there's no mitzvah on Bezdin, that shows me that the Torah is very particular on who does Pidyon HaBen. It's either the son or the father. And therefore, the father can't make a messenger. What? I don't know. I don't know the name. This is the safer I have at home, but called Oitzer Pidyon HaBen. No, I know it is. I just don't know if the svar is valid. I'm saying... But it just, that's a pellet to me. That jump that he makes is so not true. You're right. Bezdin's not mechoyev to do Pidyon HaBen. We all agree that's brought down in Rishayim. But that doesn't tell me that the father can't make a shliach. What I think he's trying to do is, he's trying to sell us the notion that Pidyon HaBen is a mitzvah shebegufa. It's a mitzvah shebegufa. It's a mitzvah on my body. And if it's on my body, no one else can do it. That's not true. That meaning that much you don't see. All you see is that the Torah didn't obligate Beis Din. And I can give you reasons why the Torah didn't obligate Beis Din. Because it costs money, like the Asmus Yosef told us. But that doesn't show me that the father can't make a shliach.
Totally. Mr. Gufo ain't got no Mila.
Right. Mila, right.
Wait.
Asmus Yosef.
His time is not.
Exactly.
That's all.
Right.
We can find another reason.
Right, but it's not.
Then this will work.
No, but this is a hard point to prove, in my opinion, because he's jumping too much.
No third parties.
Right, but that's not necessarily what the Torah says. The Torah says no outside of the circle of people that are obligated.
Right. The Torah never says anything.
But there's a chiddush called shlichus. And you have to work with that also. We have that's the kash of, let's say, the Taz and the Shach, is we have a concept of Chalat Torah called shlichus. I don't need the Torah to tell me you can make a shliach. So if the Torah says you do something, it's always assumed you or your messenger, unless there's something that we don't know. So it's
The kid reaches 13,
yeah,
right, by Mila, the chiyah falls on the father.
Yeah.
What's with Pidyon HaBen also falls on the father?
Achalik is Rishayim, that was last week's shiur.
Right.
Achalik is Rivash in the Sefer Echad.
Okay, so in that case, if it falls on the father, right?
Yeah.
But let's say you don't do it. So yeah. By Mila, every day you don't do a Mila,
right.
You're over. Every day you don't do a Pidyon HaBen, are you really over?
We're going to talk about it in a second. We'll see if there's something about it, but Pashtus not.
What?
We're going to see. Okay, the pastor is not over anything.
Right,
the
it's not,
well, no, we're going to have to see what the status of the baby is. Well, we'll get there, hopefully, in a few minutes. Right. So if you take a look in the Chassam Sofer, so again, we're trying to figure out Pshatim over here in this very difficult Ramah. Why the Ramah holds you can't make a Shliach for Pidyon HaBen. So one shot we have so far is somehow because the Torah excluded Beis Din, that's a raya that you can't include a Shliach, which to me is very hard to understand. The next reason is the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer writes in number 3, a little bit drushy, and he acknowledges that it's drush. He said, "It said by Marcus Bucheris, ki hiksha parah l'shachenu. By Yerig Hashem kol b'chor, Hashem killed the b'chayrim. Hashem ba'atzma v'layadei shliach. Hashem did it himself." And we read that in the Haggadah. Ani v'layatzma v'layadei shliach. Al kein ani zaveach v'layadei shliach. U'b'chor banai efte ba'atzmi v'layadei shliach. Says the Chassam Sofer, it's midah connected midah. The same way when HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed the Bechorim in the Makas Bechoris. He did it himself. And those Bechorim that were saved, so to say, from Hashem themselves. So when I do the pidyon, I'm poydim myself. That's what he writes. Even though they're very drushy, I think they're right. Sometimes he acknowledges that it's drush, but he thinks it's right. He thinks that's pshat in this Ramah. That since when it came to Makas Bechayrus, Hashem did it himself. So when we do the gratitude, we do the gratitude by ourselves and not a deshliach. Which again, is a hashkafic question of saying hoidah by yourself versus sending a shliach to send hoidah. That's the Chassam Sofer's pshat. The Aruch HaShulchan has a different spin on this, and this is interesting. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in number 4, he says, Ulechein nirlin is daiti, shat tzedek ima. He thinks the Ramah is right, that you can't send a shliach for Pidyon HaBen. Why? The chol mitzvah shatayra amra mefurish shatot taseh. Whenever the Torah says you should do something, kimidumani says Rosh Hashanah, I think she'ain biyicholus lasa shliach laze. Whenever the Torah says you do something, that's an exclusion. You v'loy shliach. What are some of his examples? Kamay bin Adar. He brings the raya from the Dar. What's the raya from the Dar? Ba'afor is habal leishdoi. When the baal is allowed to be made for his wife's in the Dar, kide kaimul mesach mesimreish lamedalat. Kibyo ishi yeshom the Dar is ishi kimenu bishif yirenu v'loy yedir shliach. You can't send the shliach to do it. You got to do it yourself. Hachanami says the Aruch HaShulchan, Kivan dichsiv kol b'chor banecha tivte, v'loy hashliach. The Torah said, you should do it. Therefore, he says, it's not like Mila, v'loy domi l'mila d'loy huskur b'toyer mefurish, alo av chiyuv d'av, yalfin nesham, yavol am yitzhak b'naik, b'vor b'kedushin. He says, by Mila, didn't say clearly, Hashem told Avram, you give your son a bris, which is why we struggled back then figuring out, how do we even learn from that storyline? But Zakta Aruch HaShulchan, whenever the Torah says, you do something, you means you are not a shliach.
You put it in
the kasev the sefer the nasan law, and you should give it to her. Okay. Right, so, I mean, we know we have shlichus. Right, that's my kasha having the Aruch HaShulchan. Sometimes the Torah has to write it that way because how else is it supposed to get across the point? What should have the Torah written instead of the Torah writing you should redeem your son? What should the Torah written?
The son should be redeemed.
The bechor should be redeemed.
Kol bechor benecha tifteh. No, tifteh means you should redeem.
Where in the world do we have
yipadeh? I don't know.
Where in the world
in the world we have a happening to think that there is no shlichus. Why are all these?
Because Rama said so.
Because Rama, they come to explain Rama.
Yeah, that's the kasha. That's part of the kasha. The Rama came from Rivash, and all the Acharonim say, but it's against the rule that we have b'chol Torah kula that shlichus shalom kemaisa.
We know that sure the Rama's way is going to Rivash.
Yeah, yeah. They assume the Taz writes like that. No, no. No, the Rivash threw in a line, the shayl to the Rivash. Right, that's right. Right. So the Taz said, that was a Taz. The Taz said.
So why are these, why is the Taz? Why are they?
How else do you want to read the Ramah? But how else do you want to read the Ramah? The Ramah definitely says it. Do you want to know who he gets it from? We can debate it. But the Ramah still says it. That's Aruch HaShulchan's agenda. I didn't photocopy this part. But he says, he has the same issue that we have. Where the Ramah see it? He says, I don't know where he saw it from, but he wrote it, it means he thinks it's true.
By the way, who puts in that little vein? Does that the Ramah itself?
No, this vein is just, I had to cut and paste it. I just had to copy and paste it.
Is the Chumash Rivash like the Chumash Adeshin?
No, this was legit.
Like question.
He's real legit. Right?
That would be a good right. Raya.
Chumash Adeshin, you can make a Raya. It's known that Chumash Adeshin used to write his own shaylos. He write his own shaylos and his own answers. So you can get a lot from the shaylos and the teretz. Yeah. The Rivash, I think, it was regular shaylos and chumas, like regular, you know, like regular gedolim. So this is a very difficult Ramah to understand. So the Aruch HaShulchan basically says that from the structure of the psukim, it's like the Torah went out of its way to say you can't do shlichas. Which again, Yesh Lod and how the Torah should have wrote it. And David has a good question. You got to go by every parsha in the Chumash. I couldn't think of that one. That's a good one. You got to go through every single parsha of sugyas and shas and psukim. That's pretty good. I couldn't think of that one even.
Yeah,
you're holding the sugya. You're still remembering the gittin sashurim. And we learned the gittin many years ago. And you definitely can make a sefer again. And there it says because of nasan biyoda, you should put it into her hand. And we don't say that nasan means only you. We know you can make a shliach. So that's a good question. I'm sure that, again, I think there's probably many places in the Chumash and in the Psukim where the Torah writes a lashon that sounds like it's to you, and we know that Shlichus works, but that's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes over here.
How about the other way? Does the Torah ever say Shlichus? It doesn't really say Shlichus.
The Torah never really writes before it says Shlichus. We have drushes, by Truma, Atem, by Truma, we have a Ribuy, we have Ribuyim.
You can do
it. We have Ribuyim throughout. Then he brings a second shot.
The Korban Pesach, that also says you. You have to shah.
Yeah, it says almost all the time. It says you. It very often says you. I don't know. Sorry.
It was one of the rays.
No, then you could have.
We learned shechitas from Korban Pesach. Yeah.
And yet it says you.
Okay, but let's try the second test of Aruch HaShulchan. Now, the second test of Aruch HaShulchan will come up more again in the next sugya that we learn. Hopefully, maybe next week, where the Gemara compares. The Gemara talks about a shayla. If a person has to do pidyon haben or be oiler regel, which one should he do? Got two mitzvahs in front of him. There's machlokes b'shoyanim. Is it a money question or a time question? Meaning, is the pshat the guy only has $5 and he can either be paid the son or go to take the trip to Yerushalayim? Or it's not a question of money. He's got tons of money. The question just is time. Which one should he do first? The Gemara is a whole back and forth. And the Gemara says, no, he should do one over the other because it says in the Chumash, in the Psukim in the Chumash, it says first be paid the son and then be other regal. So the Aruch HaShulchan says something amazing. He writes, "Oid yesh lahav yirayel dvarav shari kasev b'kisis kol b'chor b'nechatifte v'layeh refenei reikam." If you look at the Chumash, it says what? Redeem your children. And then v'layeh refenei reikam means don't be empty when you go up to Yerushalayim. That's referring to being oiler regel. Hakesha ha-teira l'ri'iyah. The Torah compares pidyon haben to ri'iyah. V'ri'iyah's panim ba'azara ein adei shliach. You can't send a messenger. I'm sure people probably tried this. Mm-hmm. You send a messenger for you to be your place to be other regal. I don't want to be other regal. I'm not interested. I'm going to stay in my hotel. I'll send some messenger to be in my place. You can't do that. Other regal is a mitzvah shibagufay. So he says, you see from over here that we compare pidyon haben to aliyas l'regel. And since aliyas l'regel is a mitzvah shibagufay, kedin called mitzvah shalgufay lasois. And therefore, once it's a mitzvah shibagufay, so pidyon haben becomes a mitzvah shibagufay, and therefore you can't use a shliach. There was only one problem. The Aruch HaShulchan just made up a new drasha. The Aruch HaShulchan lived in the 20th century. He can't exactly make up drasha. So he writes, even though I can't make up a new drasha, Gemara already talks about this. Lifte says, the Gemara has a shayla. Pidyon haben first, oiler regel first. So the Gemara says, no, first do pidyon haben and then be oiler regel. Why? Because of this pasuk. So he says, once I see that the Torah uses some similarities between pidyon haben and oiler regel, I now have the right to add on to that and say, well, just like pidyon oiler regel is a mitzvah shebegufoy, so too pidyon haben is a mitzvah shebegufoy.
Is that how we pass order? Because
that was a machlokes in the Gemara. It's going to be machlokes in the Gemara. It is machlokes, yeah.
But that's how we pass.
That's how we pass. We'll come back to Blina. It's the next Gemara. Hopefully we'll deal with heavily.
Is that in the same pasuk?
Yeah, it's in the same pasuk.
Right, so the came first. That's why we're going to do it.
Right. The whole concept is very strange. Meaning, if I had to think of why on earth would I call pidyon haben a mitzvah shebegufoy, it's so not a mitzvah shebegufoy. especially we'll see the Vilna Gaon is going to yell and scream about it. That it mean Aliyas L'Regel actually makes sense to me, Mr. Shabbat Gufer.
Right? It's a personal experience. The Talmud wants you to have the experience of being there and seeing.
Right. That's Aliyas L'Regel, not Pidgin. That's not Pidgin Aben. Right. So that makes sense. I agree with you. Aliyas L'Regel is
more than Mr. Shabbat Gufer. It's the whole
point. It's the experience. It's the experience. Exactly. Right.
It can only be done by.
But by Pidgin Aben.
But isn't the logic also reversed? Like if you don't do, if you're not Aliyas L'Regel. What is the regal? It's gone.
Very good. That's the Svar the Gemara used. The Gemara used a Svar called Mitzvah Iveris. We'll come back to Blin Eder when we get to that Gemara. We'll talk about that a lot.
By Mila, totally post Dafka, you have to do on the eighth day.
Right.
By Pidgin Aben, it's 30 days only the first opportunity?
Right. The Pashtus is it doesn't start till after 30 days. Right.
But is it saying you should do it on 30
days? Yeah, yeah.
Because the earliest you can do it in the
right, no. The assumption is you should do it as early as you can. But the Maker, then you can do it. Again, there's no Arela status, so you keep on doing it as long as.
Very different than.
Very different than Milan.
Correct.
Right.
By the way,
can't do it before 30 days.
At night, is it the night of the 30th?
So Meikra, then you could do on Shabbos Yom Tov. We don't do it because of Xerid Rabbanans. Looks like Mechachomemka. Strictly speaking, we could. Okay, so let's see Reb Kiveg over here. Reb Kiveg has a Gevaldik Akasha. Reb Kiveg has a Kasha that brings together a lot of different sugya that we've learned together. Reb Kiveg has a Kasha like this. If the Ramah is right, that you can't make a Shliach of Pidyon Aben, if that is true, for Reb Kiveg, we have a problem. What's the problem? So he quotes a Kasha from the Shaar HaMelech, number 5. The Shaar HaMelech tells us, that is a halacha called matona amanas lahachzer. Let's say, for example, by Pidyon Aben, I'm a really cheap guy, so I give the kohen 5 shlamim. I say, here's the 5 shlamim for Pidyon Aben. On condition, you give me back the 5 shlamim when this procedure is all over. Matona amanas lahachzer. So when we learn kedushin davov, we spoke about this heavily because the Gemara talks about it over there. So the Gemara says matona amanas lahachzer doesn't work anywhere except for Pidyon Aben. By Pidyon Aben, matona amanas lahachzer works. So if I give the kohen 5 shlamim. And the kohen agrees to give me back the 5 shlamim, and when he gives me back the 5 shlamim, everything is good. Son is poydeh, I get my money back. Everything is peachy rosy. Everything is good. So frekter Yishar Melech, that's a tanai, right? Matan amanas lahachzer is a tanai. I'm giving you the money on condition that you give me back the money. And if you don't give me back the money, then I don't want to give you the money in the first place, and the whole bet is off. That's what a condition means. So frekter Yishar Melech, we have a rule that the Shulchan Aruch writes that if by matan amanas lahachzer, it only works when if the kohen actually gives back the money. And let's say you hold like this Ramah, that you can't do Pidyon Aben through a Shliach, name what we should say, even if the kohen decides not to give back the money, the Pidyon Aben should still work. And we would say, hey, that can't be. The whole Pidyon Aben worked on a condition. The condition was you give me back the money. If you don't give me back the money, everything is off. But Frek the Shaar HaMelech, we have another rule. The Gemara says, given the Hamaisa in Yochel Kaim, I Shliach, Tanai Botel Hamaisa Kaim. We have a Gemara. The Gemara says anytime you can't make a messenger to do something, you also can't make a tanai to do that. Meaning, what's the connection? The connection is if you can't send someone else to do it, it means you're not the real Bailam on the mice. If you're not the real Bailam on the mice, then you don't have the power to make a tanai. To make a stipulation, it means you're the Baal HaBas. You're in control. I can stipulate whatever I want. If I can't stipulate, or if I can't do it through someone else, it means I'm not really in control. I'm really just an agent of the Torah. I'm just following the Torah's control. So therefore, Frek the Shaar HaMelech, 1 second. If you tell me now that by Pidyon Aben, I can't send it through a messenger, so that means I can't make a Tanai either. If I can't make a Tanai either, then it should come out that even if I stipulate, Amanasi, give me back the money, that Tanai should be worthless. So if the Tanai is bottle, we learned many, many years ago, when the Tanai is bottle, the Mice is still kind. That's the halacha. Why that's the halacha needs explanation, but that's the fact. So if I make a Tanai, that Tanai is an illegitimate Tanai, so the halacha is the Tanai falls away, and the Chalois goes through. So ask the Shaar HaMelech here also. If Pidyon Aben doesn't have Shlichus, so then it doesn't have Tanai. If it doesn't have Tanai, if I give the coin the 5 slum, I say, I'm giving it to you on condition, you give me back the 5 slum. The coin says, sure, and then he puts it in his pocket and says, nice knowing you, I'm not giving you back the money. So the kid should still be nifta. And yet it says in Shulchan Aruch that the kid is not nifta. That's the question.
Ramah's thing. So when you're poda the child's born, it belongs to the kohen.
Whatever that means.
So that's the concept.
But yeah, something like that. Well,
conceptually, that's the point, right? It's not the father's, because he has to redeem it, right? So maybe what the Ramah is saying is that I can't make a shaliach on anything that I'm not even the bialim on. In other words, you know, the Torah said that only the father, who's the biological owner, but not the halachic owner, right? He's the only one who could be in the position of making that pidgin.
Right.
Anybody else is neither the biological owner or the halachic owner. So that's why it's limited only to the father.
But isn't that, but that goes against the whole premise of shlichus? Shlichus means that whatever I could do.
But whatever I could do is because I have some bialis on it. I can send a shtar. I can pay a debt. I can borrow money.
So why can I'm doing. So why can I send someone to do that for me?
Because
whatever power I have, whatever executive power I have, that I should be able to give to someone else. You're right. I can't do more. I can't give over more than I have. That we spoke about.
Yeah. I guess is it a power or is it an obligation?
Right. So to whatever extent I have an obligation, I should be able to punt it off to someone else.
Right, does the Rama say that the child is not nifta?
Shulchan Aruch writes that in this siman. Shulchan Aruch himself. Yeah. He writes that he said that if you give it amnas on condition and you don't fulfill the condition, then the child is not poyder. But asks the Shaar HaMelech, it's not true. So Kveger comes up with a gevaldike chap over here. Kveger writes, says Reb Kveger, I don't think it's a kash at all. Why? Gevaldik. Says Reb Kveger, what does the Ramon mean when he said you can't be poided through a shliach? Hainu shliach yasa maisa ha-pidyon. It means that the shliach is going to do the act of pidyon. Sheyoyim ha-lakoyin, he's going to say to the koyin, b'zeh ha-mois yeh ha-ben paduy. When the Ramon was against shlichas, he meant that the shliach takes the money, and the shliach goes over to the kohen and tells the kohen, listen, I want you to be paid the Yenim's kid. He says, what happens if I just want the shliach to deliver the money? I just want to deliver the money. And I'll do the talking part of it. I just need someone to get the money to the kohen. But I'm going to be the one who's going to stipulate. I'm going to be the one who's going to say that with this money, I want to be makne to the shliach that my son should be paid then.
Oh,
1 second.
Because it's at the same time.
Right, so let's see.
First of all, then the
kohen
doesn't even hear you.
One second. So let's finish. So ain't a tnai ala pigeon. So what's the matan amanaz lahachzer on? Not on the redeeming part. The im lo yachzer lo yepadui ella dat tnai he haknois hamois. It's on the money. The tnai part is on the money giving. It's on the giving of the money. If im lo yachzer, and if you don't give me back the money, not that your son's not redeemed, and if you don't give me back the money, then I never gave you the money in the first place. We're not donning on the chalois pigeon. We're donning on the nesinas a kesef. Well, obviously, one's a tzitzah of the other. Right, but the point over here is that if I can split, says Reb Kveger, and I can focus on the act of the giving of the money versus the act of the pigeon, say, right.
The next set with the
We'll get to it. Yeah, we'll talk about it. So, Zakh Reb Kveger, ubezeh tenai kayim. I can give the money through a shliach. That part I could do. Again, the father's sitting in front of the coin. Doesn't have any money on him. So he tells, you know, I sent $5 with a messenger. The money's coming, but I want you to be paid to my son with that money. So that's not a shtira to the Rambam. The Rambam wasn't saying you can't do that. The Rambam was saying that if I want to send the messenger with the money all the way to the, I'll be out of the picture. But if I'm telling the father that I want the pidyon to happen, it's a question on the giving of the money. The giving of the money, says Rabbi Kveger, that part of it, that is not what's conditional. The giving of the money, the giving of the money is the conditional part. That part, says Rabbi Kveger, I could send a shliach for. The part I can't send a shliach for is the verbal part of the pidyon aben. That part I'm doing myself. But says Rabbi Kveger, the part of giving the money, that's the shlichus. That part, Itaka, is subjected to shlichus. No. That part.
Deeper is the mitzvah shebegufoy.
Right. Fine.
We never thought before this, that the deeper is part of that mitzvah. You give the money.
Kveger is just proving to you that there's a part of shlichus that you could do by pidyon aben.
Okay, fine.
So then we're good. Then that's the discussion.
We're not all shy. Where did Rivash say that this is a mitzvah?
Right.
So this is your answer.
Avadi, he's working in the Rivash's world, and in the Rivash's world, you can't make a shliach. He's just working around in the Rivash's world where I can still make a shliach on some part of it. Not all of it, but a part of it.
A
little better. Oh, right.
So he can't do
the pashtus is the giving of the money can be sent by a robot.
No, but I'm saying so. But how, if he can't verbalize,
no, that part. So that part you can't do.
So,
I'm talking about the money part.
I'm talking about so now, if you're splitting between the speaking is the essential part. So what is someone who has a bukhara and he can't speak?
Yeah, I don't know. That's good child. I don't know what they do. Halachol ma'isa, I don't know what they do. Yeah. That's the shiloh. That's the shiloh. When I want to express what I want to do, okay. Okay, everybody, we gotta get moving over here. Okay, that's kind of keeping it. Yeah.
Yeah. What is the whole mice of pigeon?
We're gonna get to it. Let's see right now. Okay. Yeah.
Why does that have to be so complicated? Why can't we be men? Someone's really poor and they don't have the money.
Right.
But they have a friend who's got money and he says, you know what? I'll redeem him for you.
So, yeah.
Is that a shaliach?
The Rama would say that doesn't. No, the Rama would say that doesn't work. Okay, let's see. That will not work according to Rama.
That's what he really means. But if I appoint you to do it for me, I give you the money and I tell you I'm 1,000 miles away. Here's the money.
Again, he says.
I give you the money. Go do it for me. That's not the kind of shit that the Rama
says. Why? He says.
It's as if I'm doing it as opposed to somebody else doing it.
The Ein Yochol La'av Liftes Aidei Shliach. Shliach means a messenger. So I send a messenger. Now let's see the Goyin. So the Goyin is what a lot of people are thinking of. Is the Vilna Goyin at number 6. A very important Vilna Goyin. Writes the Vilna Goyin. Kol Zeh, number 6, left corner. Kol Zeh Hu Temua. Says the Vilna Goyin, this whole Rama was a pella to me. Why? The loy mi boi aidei shliach the shlucha shalom kimoi. So he says the Goyin. First of all, I disagree on premise number one that the Rama says you can't make a shliach because why not? We have a principle shlucha shalom kimoi. So you can always make a shliach unless there's a reason why you can't. And I don't see why Pidyon HaBen has that. Secondly, takes it even further. Ela the af acher yochol liftois afidlu b'loy daite shalav. Says the Goyin, not only can the father make a shliach, some guy can go behind the father's back pay up the Pidyon HaBen. I told you we'll get to it, guys. I don't lie.
That's not
true. No, the Vilna Goyin is arguing on 2 points. He's saying, first of all, I agree you can make a shliach, and not only that, I think you can do even more than shlichus. You can do it without the consent of the father completely. Why?
Why?
He's arguing on the Rama. He's arguing on the Rama. He's arguing on the Rama. He would tell you they could. The Gra argues on the Rama. Yeah, they won't do it, but nice, if you have a rich guy who sees that his son needs to be paid and he does it, about the pidyon works.
But if the guy does it on his own without shlichus, the Rama wouldn't have a problem.
Who's the which guy?
The guy who just slides on the.
No, that's a kosher king. Meaning, if I can't make a shlichus, then definitely some guy can't come off the street and do it. Meaning, the Gra's pointing he's worse. And that's why the Gra's saying, well, I agree on both points that you just made. So says the Goyin, why? This is the kicker. He's saying it's no different than any other pigeon that someone else can do for you. There's a lot of things you have to be paid in Judaism. Right? A lot of things need pigeon, they need to be redeemed or transferred kedusha.
Right.
Someone else can do it for you. But this is the part I want. Skip two lines. Says the Goyin, pigeon HaBen is a bill. It's a bill. It's a debt. Again, if someone else pays your credit card bill, will the credit card company say, I'm sorry, no, I can only take the money from, they'd be more than happy to take anyone's money, right? So Zok the Goyin, Pidyon HaBen is nothing more than a debt. Debts can be paid by anyone. Who cares who pays the debt? So there was Zok the Goyin, he looks at Pidyon HaBen, she'ena el choy v'alma. So everyone's thinking, what do you mean choy v'alma? It's a mitzvah, it's a chalois, it's a something. Zok the Goyin is nothing. It's a debt. It's a bill.
But isn't that where Rabbi Kiva was making his dichotomy, that the debt is one part, but the expression.
So that's what we're gonna have to break down to see. Even if according to the Goyin, there might be two elements to Pidyon HaBen, not as simple as he's making. Priyas Chayiv is mitzvah, which we'll get back to a little bit today or tomorrow.
Question on the Rama: why he emphasizes Beis Din can't do it?
Right.
Already said nobody.
Correct.
Can do it.
Right. So that's Pashup Shat in the Rama. The Rama was telling us two separate din. He was saying the Gam Ein Beis Din means there's no Chi of Beis Din like you find by. Yeah, it's a really a loizu abzu type of thing. Once you tell him you can't make a shliach, then it's Pashup L'chei that Beis Din doesn't do it either, which was that Pshat from the Sefer Oitzer Pinyin HaBen, who connected those two halachas. Now, this Gra we're going to have to come back to a lot. Blinette, we'll talk about it later. And keep this Goyin in the back of your mind as we go through the Sugya. That the Goyin calls Pinyin HaBen Einoi Ela Choy Ba'am. It's a Choy, it's a debt. It's like a debt like any other debt you have, and someone else can pay up your debt.
What does he say at the end?
No, because we're going to. He's saying, isn't it Poshit? Of course, right? If a guy owes money to the Malva and someone else pays up the Malva, you're going to tell me that the loan is not paid up because it didn't come from the Leva? Of course not.
He's probably dead.
I mean, the Goyin looks at Pidyon HaBen, at least the way this Goyin reads. Again, we'll see. It's not so posh. The Goyin learns Pidyon HaBen is mamish like any other bill you have. Someone else can pay a bill for you.
And that's why the Tanai works, because the guy can say, I'm waiving.
The cash only is, well, if he's there, where's it going to work with Mechila? What happens if the Goyin decides to be Moichel? The Goyin says, listen, I see you're on hard times. I'm going to waive the $5 fee. So that's not so posh. That we're going to have to see if that works. Right? It might not be his. Who says you're a violent? It might belong to Shevet Kahuna. It might belong to the Ganja Shevet.
You have that Gemara something that if somebody jumps ahead, takes it from one kind.
Yeah. So whenever you deal with things that are Matnas Kahuna, you always have to know you have to get consent from the whole Shevet.
Right.
So we'll keep this.
The Gomel, there's a two-part that's right besides the key of Mammon. There's supposed to be declaration on the part of the father.
Yeah, that might be semantics that you have to say. But the root of Pidyon HaBen, there is a text of what to say about Pidyon HaBen. If you look in the Rosh, by us, some of the Achorayim bring it down. But the ikkar of the Chalois part of it is just paying up a debt. And everything else...
There's declarations on
that. That's not Ma'akim. No, that we do that, just so everyone knows what we're doing. But Ma'ikkar HaDin... Did what?
If someone just gave the money.
Kids poison, good, move on.
Ramon,
not like that.
Ramon,
not. The kid's not poison. He's whatever, right? The father still owes the money. It's amazing. Now, we keep on talking about this, and I finally found an interesting source about it. What is the status of a baby before he's poison? What's his status? Right, today everything is about status, right? People change their status every 5 minutes. Everything's status, right?
It's called right?
What's the child's status before Pidyon HaBen? So if you take a look in the Svarno and Parshas Boy, Mari Dikas Svarno, he writes, it says in the Pasuk, Kaddish li kol b'char, she'ez chayvu kulam b'pidyon kishar kol hektish. Says the Svarno, yimuchoyit v'poydi yisam, like yimuchoyit v'poydi all other forms of hektish. Leman yihu mutarim ba'avoydas choyl. In order so that the child would be able to perform mundane tasks. Shalulei ha'pidyon haya asurim la'asoyz kol melechas choyl. Can you imagine that? You can't put your kid to work. He can't take out the garbage. He can't rake the leaves. He can't shovel snow until you pay them. Unbelievable. He's a chetz of tusha, just like an animal. Same thing like you have by an animal. A firstborn animal, you can't just work. It's got kedusha. So Zok the Svarno, same thing with a firstborn baby. If you have a firstborn baby, he's not paid, he's got kedusha on him. And you can't give him what's called avodas chol. You can't have him take out the garbage. You can't have him whatever. Clean up the Shabbos table. He's got kedusha.
He's never going to be one of the
folks. Yeah. So if you find that, a lot of my kids think that way.
Right. Yeah. So now the shaila is: this Svarno works very nicely, not like the goyin. Like the goyin, if it's just a prius chay v'alma, there's no kedusha over here. It's just a chay. There's no kedusha. Right. Like the goyin is a debt. So. So that's what we're going to have to talk about. We're going to have to figure out: does the prius chay start the snowball effect of everything? Meaning, the paying up the chayv creates certain statuses that only come after you pay up the chayv. Now, the problem with the Svarno is it's very nice, except it's against the Gemara. The Gemara says, Meforish Mechayris, number 8. Just skip that little, go to number 8. The Gemara says, Mechayris Davtes. It says in the Pasuk that you're not allowed to work a Bechor Sharcha, Avlata Oyved Bechor Adam. But you're allowed to work a Bechor Adam. What does it mean you're allowed to work a Bechor Adam? Look at Rashi right on top. Like Rashi Bechor Adam. Mutter Bahanol Lemaisi Yadav. You're allowed to get benefit from his work. We don't find any way that there's an isser of working a person before Pidyon HaBen. So the Svarno is very nice. By an animal it says you're not allowed to work him. So the Svarno said that an animal and an adult should be the same way.
He had a question.
Yeah.
Hold an animal through a
shaliyah? That's a good question. I don't know. So we do know there is some similarities between Pidyon Behema and Pidyon HaBen. Some yes, some no. I didn't go into it, but there is a discussion in our sugya. If women are exempt from Pidyon HaBen, are they also exempt from Pidyon of animals? Let's say a lady owns an animal. So do we exclude her from Pidyon HaBen and from Pidyon Pet Hamar or not? There are similarities. I don't know. I don't know if this is one of those things that we don't say you can be part of
the
Svarno.
So
I think what the Svarno means is that in theory it should be that way. Meaning, but Lamaisa the terrorist is otherwise. Meaning, he's saying that in theory, the Kedusha's Bechor should be very similar to the Kedusha of a Behema. But Lamaisa, it's not so in the Gemara. Now, why do I bring this all up? Because this sheds a little bit more light on what we keep on discussing. What's the status of the baby without a Pidyon HaBen? So according to the Svarno, either in theory or practically, the baby should have some real Kedusha. Now, Yesh Lodan, if that works with the Gra, does not work with the Gra. Could be the Gra agrees to that. The Gra holds that even though it's just a Chayv Ba'alma, that chayv ba'alma is what carries on a certain iser or gives it a certain kedusha to the baby, and when you pay the chayv, that that's removed. Now let's go on to a gemara by us, number 9.
I remember hearing a shir about a whole thing about if you have a mila and a pigeon on the same day, which do you do first?
A what?
Quinta the gro.
Good.
Quinta the gro. It's just prius chayv.
Good. So we're gonna have to see. There's gonna be a bunch of gemaras that we're gonna learn together, hopefully. That seems to be very against the Gra's premise. that is just a priest chayim and there's no mitzvah to it. Well, mamish the next gemara, a couple of gemaras, for sure, but lina by next week we'll get to that. Rabbi Chanan already asks. No, but it's going to come up in our, I don't know if it is, but a similar shayla is going to come up in our gemara. The gemara is going to talk about, let's say, pidyon haben and oil regel. So the question is, well, pidyon haben is not a mitzvah. Why does it even make its way on the? So we'll see. Rabbi Chanan has that kasha. We'll have to deal with this going. So obviously the going is not as simple as it seems. That's what we're going to have to see. So let's jump down to number 9. Let's learn a shtickle gemara together. This gemara is in kedushin, which is the masechta we're learning, believe it or not. So this is a kedushin chavtas amar alf. If you want to make a scene, we turn the next page. You know, like in elementary school, whenever they finish an Amid, they make like a big deal. So whenever we finish an Amid, it's not a big deal here. So we switch from Amid. We're now in Amid Beis. If you look up at the Gemara, we'll see we're in Amid Beis now. Tanur Rabbanan, number 9. Who liftois u benoi liftois? Mardiki Gemara. Let's say you have a case where the father has to be paid to himself. His father never redeemed him. Now he's married. He's 30 years old. He became from. He's a Baal Tshuva. He learned the rules, and now he realizes, "Oh, I was never nifta. My father
stopped working."
Right. He's going to stop. He's going to tell his boss he can't work anymore. That's it. And he has a benoy liftois, and he has a son who also needs to be redeemed. Punkt. They both have to be redeemed. So the Gemara says, "Who koydim libnoi? He first redeems himself, and then he redeems his son." Rabbi Yehuda Omer benoi koydmoi. Rabbi Yehuda says, "No, the son goes first." Why? Shezeh mitzvasoi ala aviv, vizeh mitzvas benoi olav. Wow. What does that mean, says Rabbi Yehuda? The son goes first. Why? Because that's the mitzvah of the father, and that's the mitzvah of the son. What does that mean in English? So l'cha'ira, it means like what we saw last week from the Rivash. The reason why the son goes first, I'm sorry, the reason why the father, no, the son goes first. The son goes first. Why? Because according to Yehuda, why should the son go first?
Because that's his primary
right. The question is, whose mitzvah does the father have? He has two things now. He has to do his own mitzvah of pada tifteh because his father didn't do it, but he also has his father obligation. So which comes first, the father obligation or the father's default inherited obligation? Yes, that's the Gemara we learned earlier. That's on the books.
Rabbi, does this make a difference whether it's on the 30th day or if it's when the kid's 5?
So we're going to see in a second. Says the Gemara. Talk to Gemara. 1 second. Let's see the Gemara. Amar Reb Yirmiyah, Hakol Moedim. Everyone agrees. Kol Heicha Delaika Elocha Mishloim. Let's say the guy only has 5 shloim. That's all he's got. He got in the last Bitcoin thing. He lost all his money. Right? Don't ever invest with a guy who looks like that. Okay, fine. He lost that guy. A guy with so many names and looks like that. Don't invest your money with him. Probably Jewish also. Fried, whatever his name is. Right?
Yes.
Noch besser. Okay. And he's a good gesunte liberal. Definitely don't invest with him. So, kids, the guy only has $5. Right? The guy only has $5 to his name. Talk to Gemara. What does he do? Who koydim libnoi? Avad. In that case, the father goes before the son. Wow.
No.
Who koydim libnoi? The father. No. Again, the father has 2 pinyan habens to do: his own and his son. He does his son. He does himself first. Why? Says the Gemara. My taimo mitzvah de gufe adifa. A mitzvah on your body is more important. So the question is, what do you mean mitzvah to gufa adifa? There are 2 mitzvahs I'm gufa. I have 1 mitzvah to do for my son, and I have 1 mitzvah to do to myself. Why does my mitzvah win? Why does my mitzvah win? So the chayra, this is a very strong raya to the rivash.
Right.
This is a raya to the rivash. Why?
It's the apotropos. It's not
exactly.
The son's one is not on your
side. Right, that's a raya to the rivash. The rivash. So therefore, this gemara is a raya, and the rivash himself brings this gemara. This gemara is a raya to the rivash. That what? That the mitzvah that I have for my son is not my mitzvah. It's my son's mitzvah that I'm doing on his behalf. But my mitzvah to redeem myself is my mitzvah. Therefore, the Gemara calls that mitzvah the gufa yadifa. So therefore, says the Rivash, this Gemara is a right to his yisoid. Because if you don't say like the Rivash, you learn, let's say, like the Sefer HaChinuch, that Pedia Ben is the father's mitzvah. So why is one mitzvah more than the other mitzvah? I have a mitzvah to pray to my son, I have a mitzvah to pray to myself. They're exactly equal.
So how would that work by Bris Milah? Same example, except it's a Bris Milah.
So by Bris Milah, we'll have the opposite machloekis. Some people go the other way. They say that by Bris Milah, it's taka the father's mitzvah to do Bris Milah, and then they'd be equal.
Right.
And there'll
30
be no,
years later,
there'd be no preference in that case because they're both equal. Here we're saying the reason why the father goes first is because he has extra perk. What's his extra perk? Because it's really his mitzvah. Why is it really his mitzvah? Because according to Rivash, the mitzvah that he has to redeem his son is not really his mitzvah. He's just acting on behalf of his son. But to redeem himself, that's his own mitzvah. Okay, we'll come back to this. So then where's the machlokes? Says the Gemara, keep pligi, when is there machlokes? Heichad the ikka chamesh mishubadim. So first of all, I'm waiting for something to jump on my back. We'll get to it on the next page. If the guy only has $5 to his name, he's potter. doesn't have to do any mitzvahs. We have a rule that you don't have to spend all your money to do mitzvahs. Hmm. So the guy only has $5. It's all he has to his name. So the answer is he doesn't have to do anything.
But he doesn't have to do it, but then what's going to happen to the status of this?
Nothing. When he has money, he'll get to it.
Only has $5 that he can spend.
So the Chazon Ish rejects that shot. The Chazon Ish rejects that shot. He tries that way. He says he only has five available dollars, and the Chazon Ish says, no, it's not the shot. He proves from the Gemara he only has $5, sach hakol, period. That's all he's worth. We'll come back to it. Says the Gemara, so what's the case? Keep pleading, when are we arguing? Heicha de ikka chamish mishubad and v'chamish b'nechar. Here's the tricky case. The guy has $5 in his pocket, and he also just sold a property that was worth $5. Just sold the property. That's what mishubad means. It means he sold the property to someone, and that property is worth $5. Now what? So, the halacha is, there's such a thing called being gaiva from lekuchas. If I sell a property and I have a debt, and the guy buys my property knowing or should have known that I have that debt, that's his gamble. Now the lekeach comes to him and takes the property away. That's the ability of lekuchas. Says the Gemara like this.
So there's a lien on his property.
There's a lien on my property.
Owing as a lien on the property.
Yes, yes. Now the question is why? That's what I'm going to get to also. So let's just see the Gemara first. Rabbi Yehuda Sava. Milve de kosev b'teira kiksuva b'shtar dami. Rabbi Yehuda holds, when the Torah writes a debt in the Chumash, that's as if it's written on a paper. What's the difference between a milva b'shtar and a milva apel? Milva b'shtar means if I write on a document, I lent Shimon $50. I borrowed money. So now it's documented that I owe money to someone. So now there's a lien out there that people should know that don't buy property from me because I have outstanding debt.
It has to be a shtar.
It has to be on a shtar, because how else are people supposed to know? A milva apel, two guys make a loan in a back room, how's anyone supposed to know? And I go buy property, I'm not, how am I supposed to know that there was a lien on the property?
A shtar has a
koil. The Gemara says, shtar is l'kolo, and people will know that there's a lien on the property. Now, the Gemara comes like this. Rabbi Yehuda holds, when this is an interesting debt. This is a debt that's written in the Torah. Now, the kash on this is that the Torah... Well, it's one that, how am I supposed to know that you're a kohen? And that you had a baby? How am I supposed to know you have a baby boy? I mean, I'm looking to buy property. I'm in the real estate business, which needs a lot of chizuk these days, right? I'm in the real estate business, and I'm looking to buy property. So I look into the owner, and it says, yeah, he's a wonderful guy. It doesn't say on the document, and by the way, he just had a baby boy, and this baby was not a C-section, and this baby needs pidyon haben, and therefore he owes the kohen 5 shlam. Where's it going to say that?
I mean, if he chooses not to pay,
we look at it like that.
If he chooses not to pay, then he doesn't have to pay.
Right, but we assume that everyone's going to want to do it because it's a mitzvah, right?
But
to me, it's just very different than the case of where there's a kollel on a shtar where a guy buys property and everyone hears about his financial doings. I guess now they look into his personal life also. It's like a shidduch resume. They don't just look into his financial doings. They want to know what's going on with his kids.
This is where he sells the property.
We'll get to that in a second. We'll explain how this is going to work. So let's see the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Sava. Milva de kosev b'teira kiksuva b'shtar dami. Rabbi Yehuda holds that since it says in the Torah to give money to the kohen, that's like it as if it was a shtar, which means now the property has a lien on it. So what? So bahani chomesh, with the free $5, parik lebrei, he redeems his son. Why does he redeem his son? Because he sold the property before his son was born. So there was no lien from his son, right? Because the son wasn't in the world. There was no debt to the kohen. Exactly. That's right. That's why you have to document it to say that when I bought this property from you, you did not own a coin. You did not owe money to the coin because you didn't have a baby. So that you cannot collect from the debt, from the lekuches. So that I use the five single dollars. Now, the ozel coin, the tarif lay lechamish mishubadim lididay, but the coin could then go back and say, but your debt is 40 years old. Right? You're supposed to be redeemed 40 years ago. So your debt is already an old debt. An old debt, when you sold that property, that debt was already around. And therefore, I can go now and collect from the property. So I can get both. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. I can get both.
Talk about people not knowing. Guy's 30 years old.
Yeah. I don't understand how any lekech is supposed to know that. If I buy a piece of property, I'm supposed to know that there's a lien on a pidyon. I've been here.
Sooner or later, you recently had a child.
Right. I don't understand that. But that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbanan Sarvi. The Rabbanan say, no. Milva the cost of Bairaisa. A debt that's written in the Torah. Laf kiksuva b'shtar dami. It's not as if it's written in the Torah. Therefore, you have no right to collect from the lekuchas.
It's not written down.
Right, because it's not written down. So if you have no right to collect from the lekuchas, so now you have two debts with only $5. Who wins? The hilkach mitzvah degufei adiv. Mm-hmm. And now that I have to choose between my debt and my son's debt, we use the svara of mitzvah degufei adiv. So the machlokes between the Yehuda and the Rabban is whether or not we could collect from the property or not. That's the machlokes. So we just, that's what comes out. So right away, the Chazon Ish has a kasha over here, a creative kasha. Frank the Chazon Ish, yesh la'ayin. Behold the lift, he says, Atam, we've lift, he says, Aben. The Kshayla in the Gemara about who I have to be paid to myself and be paid to my son. Bechem behold the liftei says bnei v'las regal. See bnei neder. There's a Gemara about being paid to your son and being oil regal. Frank the Chazanish have a very simple solution. A lomdish solution. Yitein lekayin amanas lahachzol la'alter. Frank the Chazanish. What's the whole problem? A guy only has $5. He has to make two pidyonim, which means he needs to make $5 grow into $10. What does he do? Says the Chazanish. He goes up to the kain. Tells the kain five shalom. Says, listen, give it to me. I'm giving it to you on condition you give it back to me.
And then 2 minutes later,
then give it back to me. Then I go to another kain.
Didn't you say it's the kain's prerogative to do it, not the guy?
To do first.
Good, good. So you, the Gemara said that the Gemara says if he only has five slum, so frak the Chazanish, I can make five slum turn into 10 slum.
With the permission of the
Kohen. Ah, so Zok the Chazanish, he says, I don't understand. Why can't you just do it on Manas Lahachzer? If you can, Shneim, you'll do both. V'nir is Zok the Chazanish, ain't noisna b'tenai Lahachzer el medas haKohen. You can only do this if the Kohen consents. Aber Rashay haKohen shloi l'kabel, Rashi yitin loy b'loy ten. The Kohen can say, absolutely not. I'm not doing games. I want my five slum. I'm not signing off on this. Why, Zok the Chazanish, the Nesina ba Korcha lo yishmei Nesina, the Matnas Kohuna. He said, you can't give the Kohen against his will and run away. Let's say you throw the five slum at the Kohen, you say, okay, here's my Pidyon HaBen, because I don't want it. Zok the Chazanish, that does not work. Pidyon HaBen needs to be consensually accepting of the Kohen. And here the Kohen says, I don't want to do your shtick. I'm not interested. He says,
I will, and he can't waive the five slum.
Correct, correct, correct. Umashmash anisha biyag yisro v'chayv l'tabba achim to koin shekablem. Ukdemuchach shom behago v'heichi shenoysa amanat l'hachzer in Israel l'koin l'mnoim l'kabloi. Zok the Chazanish, and the koin's not doing anything wrong. Meaning if the yisro goes to the koin and says, I'm going to take you to your rabbi, and your rabbi says, no, the koin has no right. Why should the koin have to forego his right to amanat l'hachzer? So Zok the Chazanish, so this trick doesn't work because you need the koin to agree, and lavdafka will the koin agree. That's the Chazanish's answer.
Although if the alternative
is
he doesn't get any of the
very good. Here's like a question of like what's running through the mind of the Kohen. The Kohen says to himself, I can either play this game, forgo my five slum, or hold out and say, no, I'm going to wait till I get my five slum. But Frektim Shlom is Alman Lorbach, even a better question. Frektim Shlom is Alman. Umotzasi the Chazanish, number 11. She'omar al kach v'kos of the Mayri Shein HaKohen HaMaskim l'kach. Ulam and Nizazi Tzarechin. Hare yochol av tiach haidei shvua. Frektim Shlom is Alman. I don't tell him, why don't I tell the Kohen, listen, buddy. I'm going to give you the first slime, I'm an Atla Hafzer, and then I'll give you the next round of Pidyon HaBen. And that one you'll get to keep. And you'll at least get five. You're guaranteed five slime out of this story. Right? Better than nothing.
He still has to agree.
Oh, very good. Let's see. So, Frektim Shlem is Almin. I don't understand the Chazanish's answer. Ube Pidyon HaSheni, Yitim Masa Choymish Slime Lachalutin. That five, meaning you tell the Kohen like this, you will walk away with five slime today. You'll do two Pidyon HaBens, and you'll get five slime.
Or you get nothing.
Or you,
if you hold, or
you wait and you'll get 10. Exactly. Mamish, this shayla b'shem is a business question. How do you look at it? The b'shem zalman is looking at it as the kohen is happy to get his five shalom. Frakti b'shem zalman, who we're picking hashem yitla as a chamish shalom lechalutin. Val oifin zeh vada yaskim hakohen lekayim, b'shem zalman writes over here, vada yaskim hakohen lekayim mitzvah shal pidyon HaBen, v'noysel lagam shchus ma'aton gimur shal chamish shalom. Meaning b'shem zalman is being down the kav shchus that the guy at the end of the day wants to do a mitzvah. He doesn't want to lose. So tiny b'shem zalman, you're not going to lose. You're going to get at least five. So v'kibin shekein kosher tuva da ma'aloi nisker klal b'gemara de efshe b'hachtakanta v'tzarechin. So what's the simple answer to Rishon Mizam's kasha? The Kohen says to himself, why should I settle for five if I can get 10? He says, listen, I'm the only Kohen in the shtetl. You got to do. You need me more than I need you. Right, this is a really good business negotiation over here, right? Rishon Mizam says, take the five and be happy. The Chazanish, I think, meant in his kasha, saying what? Why should the Kohen agree to take five when he knows he can get 10?
He's not going to get 10.
He will.
Eventually, he'll get.
Right? A good businessman will get the money today or tomorrow. Well, eventually, he'll get the money.
One in the hand is better than two in the bush. Then I'll find another Kohen. Eventually, I'll find another. I don't have to do it on today.
Correct.
Tomorrow, I'll do it a year from now.
This is exactly the machloikis between Zalman and the Chazanish. Two people who knew very little about business, who are arguing about how business people think. Do you say to yourself, cut your losses and take five now, although you could get 10, or you hold that for 10? That's machloikis, Chazanish, Rav Shlomo Zalman. Very gishma. Okay. I thought everyone here would appreciate such a machloikis. In the business world, you can appreciate such a machloikis. But there's a bigger kasha over here. This is one kasha. This is a Chazanish, Rav Shlomo Zalman. You could debate this. But the Mishnah Berurah has a much more stronger kasha. So I mentioned earlier, this Mishnah Berurah is actually a Ber Halacha and Hilchas Lulav. And Hilchas Lulav, the Mishnah Berurah has a kasha on this Gemara. What's the kasha? The Gemara said that if you only have five slayim, then everyone agrees that you have to be paid to yourself first. If you only have five shlomim, you know what you do with that money? You put it in your pocket and you buy yourself lunch. You don't have to give away every time you have to do a mitzvah. You don't have to spend more than a fifth of your money to do a mitzvah. So why would I have to lose all my money to do a mitzvah?
Right.
You have to lose all your money not to be over an isser. That's Ramon Shulchan Aruch. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's all or nothing. Five or nothing. That's it.
Where'd that come from? The Torah?
Yeah. There's all Rishon talk about.
Does anyone say, well, today I don't have the money, but tomorrow I would. There's no fear on the
spot. So we're dining on right now. Right now, you want to know, do you have a mitzvah? Right now, you don't have a mitzvah, you probably do yourself. So let's see the Be'er Halachas. So it's actually a tshuva from Rav Moshe.
He's negotiating now. I'll give you five instead of ten.
No, that's two separate pidyonim. Yeah, but that was legit because it was two separate pidyonim. Here, you want to say on one pidyon to go less, that you can't do.
Yeah, okay. Back to me, so five,
but it was all in the
five,
it was all in the legal. Right, it was still five for each in the legal world. Okay.
Yeah, but isn't there a difference between, let's say, like Esrig,
yeah,
where you're not, in that kind of mitzvah, you're not allowed to spend more than X amount of money.
Yeah.
But here the Torah told you, you have a chiv to be paid. This.
Very good. So, Shem, what do you mean by that? And therefore,
what do you mean? What do I mean by that?
The Torah also said, "Lekach lechem
yemishin." But if you don't have money, the Torah also said, "Go borrow the money."
But the Torah said, "Lekach lechem yemishin." Also,
no. But when it's a mitzvah, so then you have a mitzvah. You can't spend more than your money.
Good.
Here, the Torah says you have a chiv to do it now.
The mitzvah
even if you go borrow the money.
The mitzvah is the amount of money.
That's going to be. We'll see. We'll have next week. That's going to be Ramosha's teretz. The difference is when the mitzvah is spend money, or the mitzvah is do something which happens to cost money.
Right.
That's where Moshe's chilek. We'll have to get to that mitzvah next week. We'll see that chilek. Right, we'll have to see this chilek. We'll see where Moshe has this chilek. That sometimes the mitzvah, there's very rarely do you have a mitzvah that the mitzvah is actually to spend money. Usually the mitzvah is do something which happens to cost money. We'll see the next week where Moshe makes such a chilek. Okay.